Have any of y'all ever felt just downright dumb? We can all measure ourselves there tonight. I felt, well, just downright stupid sometimes. Some of the things that I do, I just have to wonder, what possessed me to do those things? What possessed me to not only do them, but maybe do them again? You know, anybody ever done something stupid twice because you didn't learn the first time? I'm not going to ask if you've done it three times or more, because some of you might actually raise your hand. But tonight we're going to look at, I don't have the clicker. Do you have? We'll get the clicker real quick. We're going to look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is where we're going to be at. Those of you who know what Psalm 51 is, you know that David did something really stupid and really dumb and decided he was going to compound it and not just stop at his stupidity, but he was going to compound it and compound it more and hide it and lie about it. That never works out well when you do things in God's presence, right? Never works out well one time. And man, I'm going to tell you, some of those stupid things I've done in God's presence, and they've never worked out well for me. In fact, all the stupid things that I've done in God's presence. Don't ever think that you can't do anything and get away with it. God sees everything, and He knows everything. And in David's case, David messed up, and David decided that he was going to lust after a woman by the name of Bathsheba. And he ended up having a child with Bathsheba. Then he ended up killing her husband. And then he ended up, his life took a nasty turn of events during that time. His family went crazy. I would have gone crazy. All right, so let's read Psalm 51 here. And if you would stand as we read Psalm 51. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. These sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar." Brother Michael, would you pray for us? I have a question for you tonight. What type of person, Christian, leader, husband, wife, employee do you want to be in the future? Ask yourself this. If you continue in the way that you're going, will you eventually become that person? What do you want to be in the future? If you continue down the same path you're going now, will you become that person? You see, David knew who he should be. David knew where his heart should be tied with and who it should be tied with. David no longer wanted to be that person that he had become. David wanted to be somebody who God could trust, who God could use, and he wanted to be forgiven of what he had done. You see, there's five things here that David requests in this prayer. And this is a prayer of a heart that is broken. This is a prayer of somebody who knows that they have done wrong. This is a prayer of somebody who knows that they want to continue being better and better and better and get on the right path with God. Now, we just started the new year, right? How many of you have already shot your resolutions in the foot? Yeah. Whatever I made, it was gone the first day. All right? But David made a resolution here that he did not want to give up. David spoke to God in a way, he said this, he said, "Have mercy on me." Man, what a way to start a prayer. To have mercy on me. Man, there's so many times that I need so much mercy from God. Every day I need mercy. And he said, "Purge me." Anybody ever been purged? Anybody ever been stripped down? Just, you felt like you've just been beat up and you've been purged. Everything has been ripped off of you to where you can start again. Amen. It happens. And when we ask God to do that, expect it to happen. And David fully expected it to happen. He said, "Renew me. Renew a loyal spirit in me." That's what the NLT version says. It says loyal. Loyalty. Man, how many of y'all are loyal? Now, I talked a little bit about this to the college students, and I said, my dog is loyal to me. He is very loyal to me. I can walk outside and everybody else be out there, and guess who he comes to? Me. I leave, he goes nuts. I go outside and he's on the other side, and he can see that I went outside. He's crazy. He wants to be right with me. And that's the kind of spirit that David wanted God to renew in him. One that he wanted to be right with God. And he couldn't stand it to be away. And he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Many of y'all ever forgot about your joy of salvation? I told the college students this morning in class, wouldn't it be great? The joy that a newborn Christian has. We had that all the time. You know how many more people want to become Christians if we had that? It would rub off like nobody could shake. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And he says, "Deliver me. Deliver me from my guilt, Father. Deliver me. Take it away. I don't want to be around it anymore." Guys, when we pray to God, because we've been stupid, because we've done that the second or third time, start out with, "Have mercy on me." Because that's what we need. Father, purge me. Father, renew that spirit of loyalty within me. Restore the joy of your salvation. And deliver me from this pain that I'm suffering. You know, David was being convinced of his sin. I've been convinced of my sin so much because I do it all the time. You ever sinned and immediately you regretted it? You know, it's an immediate thing. When you know that you've done wrong and you've done wrong in the eyes of the Lord, the regret is immediate because he goes, And not that he looks at you and goes, Kelly, You go, "Oh, Father, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that." But David was being convinced of his sin. Not only was God convincing him of it, I mean, Nathan came and told him, right? He came and he told him. He was being convinced of it. He poured out his soul to God in prayer for mercy and grace. He poured it out. When was the last time that we poured out our soul requesting mercy and grace? You know, I know our pastor for the past 2 or 3 weeks have asked us to come to the altar and pray. Some of us have, Not judging anybody. I'm just going to make a statement. He's asked us to come to the altar and pray. Not for us to be seen. Not for us to have anything glorifying us, but for us to come and pour out our hearts to God so He'd bless this church. Guys, that's where we need to start a prayer with. Father, have mercy on us that we may not be a stumbling block for You in Your kingdom, in this church, in this community, that we may be able to lead folks to Christ. Father, have mercy on me. Prayer. In verse 3 through 5, He says this, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against You, You only, have I sinned." David was very free to own the guilt before God. Anybody ever own anything? I did that. You're going to own it when it's good, right? Those good things you do, you're going to own it all the time. You're going to stand up and say, "Yes, that was me. I scored the winning basket. I led that person to the Lord." I'm waiting for one of y'all one day to stand up and go, "I got a cure for cancer. I'm probably going to give you a big hug, I promise you." All these things in life, these good things, we own just like that. But the bad things that we do, what do y'all do? Just like my kids. "I didn't do it. I didn't throw that on the floor." Well, how come that's your baseball bag? It has 2 days' worth of baseball clothes in it and three of your bats and gloves and shoes just within a 10-foot radius there. It's not mine. Okay, I'll take it all back. That's what we do, right? It's not us. We didn't do it. But David knew that he messed up. And David owned it. David owned it in a way that is just awesome. The example is great for us. When we mess up big, own it. When we mess up little, own it. It's all sin. And it's all before God's eyes. And that's what he said to you, and you only have I sinned. I have not sinned to anybody else but you, God. My heart is supposed to be knitted with yours. My heart is supposed to be searching after you and following you. And to you only have I sinned. You see, there were two things that David lamented for in his sin. It was that he committed it against God and that he committed it in God's sight. I told you a while ago, you can't do anything that God doesn't see, right? Man, that tears me up more than anything. Sin, it doesn't tear me up so much. If it did, I would stop doing it. But doing it in God's sight and knowing that I'm doing it in His sight is what gets me every time. But I look back at David and I see, you know, he sinned. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, if you turn over there in your Bibles with me. I want to read this to you. 2 Samuel chapter 12. I got 2 Samuel somewhere. Right, 2 Samuel chapter 12. I want to read verses 9 through 14 to you. See, Nathan came to him and he told him about this situation. And David got really mad and upset. Nathan looked at him and said, "It's you. You're the one that did it." And this is what he said. Verse 9. "Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord? To do evil in His sight, you have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversary against you from your own house." As a dad, that kicks me just a little bit. Knowing that my sins can mess up everything. Mess up my family. It's not me that's got to suffer for it. It's them. And David knew this. He was told this. "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Verse 11, thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversary against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Man, what a gracious father we have. Amen. What a gracious father to know that there is punishment, but he has mercy on us. He has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, man, that's a big word. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house. You know, not only does sin hurt us, it gives our enemies a big chance to call us out. And to say, no, you say you serve this God. David, you gave everybody, your enemies, everybody to say, he really doesn't matter. Remember that when we're doing that stupid thing song twice, the third time. Remember how that works out. Verse 4, it says that you are just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Now, I know I've done this evil in your sight, and I know what you said you want to do. But Father, please be just when you speak and blameless when you judge. All of those things he said he was going to do, guess what happened? The Lord's faithful to his word. Amen. And they happened. In verse 6, it says this. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. See, David had a huge acknowledgement of the grace of God, both his goodwill towards us and his good work in us. He will make me know wisdom. You desire the truth from me. You desire those things that are right. You know, those times where we stand and we say, it wasn't me. Are you willing to go back and be truthful about it? Are you willing to go back and say, yes, Father, it was me. And I know your grace is great. And you want me to know those things that are wisdom, that are the things that I need to know to help me overcome this. Verse 7, it says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. One of my favorite songs as a kid, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Anybody ever sung it? No idea what the meaning was when I was a kid. Zero. I just thought it was kind of cool. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. I like the words. Now I know what it means. Father, purge me. I don't want you to, but I need you to. I can see David agonizing. Father, purge me. Scrape it all away. That I will be whiter than snow. That the sin blot will be gone. In verse 8 it says, make me hear joy and gladness. That the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. And have you ever been in so much pain from what you've done? Feel like every one of your bones are broken? You ever ached because of the things that you've done? Amen. See, that's where David was. He was aching. His body was aching. He wanted God to hide his face from his sins and blot out all my iniquities. In verse 10, you see, David had discovered there were some inconsistencies in his life. I look at my life, there's inconsistencies. Some days I'm a really good dad. Some days I'm not. Some days I'm a really good human being. Some days I'm not. But the inconsistency that David noticed was how he faithfully served the Lord. Some days I'm a really good Christian. A lot of days I'm not. Anybody else? That's what David saw in his life. And David requests this. He said in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, that loyal spirit. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. I'm so glad that God is generous with His Spirit. I'm so glad that God is generous with His love, where we would withhold our love if somebody had done these things against us. What do you think Uriah would have done if he knew before he passed away, before he was murdered? What do you think he would have done? I don't know. But I'm a man. I think I know what I'd done. I'd like to think I'd keep myself from doing it too. But I don't think David would like me very much. Here's the deal. David wanted his salvation joy restored. He wanted to be upheld by God's generous spirit. And he knew that God was generous with his spirit. And so with that, he promised this. He said, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. How many of you take your experiences in life and use them to better somebody else? Does anybody do that? I can take my experiences in life and I can impart them to you and let you know how stupid I was. And say, don't do this. David said, Lord, if you're merciful with me, he wasn't making a bargain. He knew God was going to be merciful with him. He said, from this point on, I will teach transgressors your ways. I will live for you. I will share your word. I will share your mercy. I will share your love. And sinners shall be converted to you. I kind of think that's what our pastor has asked us to do this morning, right? To share the gospel. To share our lives. To share what God has done for us. So that sinners may be converted. Man, I'd like for him to baptize 3,000 people. Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be... Whoa. Okay. Y'all two are on board. I'd like for him to baptize 3,000 people. Wouldn't that be awesome? For the rest of you, that would be more than awesome. It would be something that you've never seen before. It might even scare you just a little bit. And that may be why nobody said, yeah, that'd be awesome. Because then we've got to figure out what to do with all those people. Well, he told us this morning, make disciples. Teach them what it means to be a Christian. And that's what David says he would do. I will teach transgressors your ways. Deliver me from the guilt of my bloodshed, O God. The God of my salvation. That's who he wants him to deliver. The God of my salvation, deliver me from the guilt of my bloodshed. And my tongue shall sing aloud your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips. And my mouth shall show forth your praise. When God is merciful with us, do we give Him all honor and glory? Do we praise Him? Or do we move on to the next sin? And I know David sinned after this. See, when God is merciful with us, we praise Him, right? That's what we should do all the time, is praise Him. You see, David found two ill effects of his sin. He found two effects. It made him sad. My sin makes me sad. And he found out that his sin makes him weak. My sin makes me weak, just like it does you. The more we sin, the more weak we become. The more we follow God, the stronger we become. Amen. David knew if he changed the path he was going down, his strength would be renewed. He knew what type of person he wanted to become. Now go back to the question I asked you at the beginning. What type of person do you want to be? What type of Christian, leader, husband, wife, employee do you want to be in the future? Whatever type you want to be, if it's not what you are now, figure out what's keeping you from that. We're not all going to have a prophet come and tell us, hey, it was you that did this. It was you who sinned. Guys, I know when I sin. I don't have to have somebody come tell me. A lot of times I need people to point it out to me because I don't want to admit it. But David wanted to be better today than he was yesterday. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know where you are with eternity, where you are with the Lord, where you are with sin. I know that each and every one of us are struggling with sin. Every one of us are struggling with sin. We were born that way. David even said that in the psalm. Father, I was born this way. From my mother's womb, I was born a sinner. But I don't want that to rule over my life. I want you to rule over my life. And if you find yourself tonight and you're struggling with sin, man, there's a great place to start. Father, have mercy on me. And purge me. Father, I've never asked you to come and live in my heart before. Tonight I'm going to. It may be, Father, I've shoved you out of my heart enough that my sin is ruling my life. And tonight I need you to wash me whiter than snow. So I don't know where you are tonight. But I know I want to give you that opportunity to speak to God. Ask Him for mercy. And ask Him to clean us. As Brother Dale comes and we sing tonight, I'm going to ask that you stand. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come to you in prayer. And Father, we just thank you for this prayer of David, for the example that he has given us. Father, how to fall on your throne and just beg for mercy and beg for forgiveness. And Father, just ask you to clean us. Father, I know that your mercy is great and your spirit is strong. And I just thank you for the blessings you have poured out upon us. Father, I love you and I praise you. In your name I pray. Amen.